Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. This is the house that He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, our text is from Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 21 through 28, and I invite you to follow along in your Bible or in one of the Bibles in the pew rack in front of you as I read Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith, your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. I used this scripture in the recent past, however, it was used in a different context than the message this morning. I was having a pity party about the middle of last week for myself and for the church. You can tell maybe that I had problems. I lost my voice, which pleased Connie, and I was feeling miserable, and it was hot and then cold in the air conditioning, hot, and I went to the doctor on Thursday, and he says, "You know, we don't know." It took x-rays and said, "I think it's some type of viral infection that is not contagious," and gave me some antibiotics. And I was sitting there thinking about that, and I was thinking about the Family Life Center, and, you know, I was saying, "Lord, we've done everything that we thought You wanted us to do, and, you know, we're still having problems dealing with these bureaucratic regulations that we believe are interpreted incorrectly," and, you know, and I said, "And I feel bad," and, you know, and I was thinking about Harmon, and thinking about Ms. Hudson, and thinking about Mrs. Cartwright, and, you know, just down and out. And this verse of Scripture came to me, and I thought, well, you know, I've used that, but I think the Lord is trying to tell me that there's another message in there other than the one that I spoke about before. So I outlined this message this morning, and I believe that God is using it to speak to all of us when we get in that place of doubting Him and concern that what we want to be done is not going to be done. You know, after Jesus attended the Last Supper and before He was crucified, of course, He was betrayed by Judas. And the pain of betrayal cuts deep. And I can imagine it's the same type of pain that this mother in our scripture this morning with this sick child felt. This persistent mother in the text today begs Jesus for help for her daughter, and she hears the surprising response of Jesus referring to her as a dog. And I wonder how we would have felt if this had happened to us. Jesus had journeyed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and this woman approached him, and we're told in Mark's gospel that she was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a mixed breed from Phoenicia and Syria. And many biblical scholars speculate that perhaps she was ostracized from her Phoenician relatives and her Syrian relatives. They theorize that because of unstable family relationships, she was unable to develop lasting relationships with men in her life, and that she probably ended up with an unplanned pregnancy. And the father, knowing the racial tension in the area between the Syrians and the Phoenicians, fled when she told him that she was pregnant. But somehow this courageous woman survived as a single mother, and when her daughter began experiencing seizures, we can imagine what people began to say. She deserves what she gets. Her lifestyle brought this upon her. She's being punished for the way she has lived. This is what happens when you make the type of decisions that this woman has made. So she has no friends. Now she's got a sick daughter who is having seizures, as they called it, being demon-possessed. And she's out of options. But she hears of a Jewish miracle-working prophet named Jesus who is coming to the area where she lives. He's reported to have authority over demons. And like this mother, like many of us, this mother has tried all other options. She's tried all the pagan gods of her various cultures, Syrian culture, Phoenician culture. None of them could help, and she thinks maybe this Jesus would be different. In addition to her physical circumstances, she experiences a series of obstacles which threatens to discourage her even more. Like an athlete running the 100-meter hurdles, she has to jump over several additional obstacles in order to reach the finish line and receive a blessing from Jesus. Now, when she approaches Jesus and his entourage and the disciples, she cries out. She begs for help. And Jesus ignores her. He does not answer her initially. And the disciples incorrectly assume that his silence means he doesn't want to have anything to do with her. So finally, she keeps calling out, "Lord, help me. Help me." And they go to Jesus and tell him that he needs to send her away because she's still crying out for them. And then Jesus does speak, and he says, "My blessings are for the Jews. The food that I give out, representing the blessing, is for the Jews. And it's not for the dogs." Can you imagine how she must have felt? Not only was it discouraging enough that he says, "My blessings are for the Jews," but he, in effect, refers to her as a dog. He says, "The crumbs from the table, it is not right to take the children's bread," talking about Israel being the children, "and the bread being his blessings, and toss it to their dogs." Now, some commentators accurately point out that the word Jesus used for dog referred to a pet and not a mangy wild dog that lived at the garbage heap or the trash pile outside of the city. But don't assume that it's still a term of endearment, that it's a compliment. Try telling your wife she looks like your beloved bulldog. I don't think that's going to make her any happier than if you called her a mangy mutt. So you can decide about that. But this mother's circumstances, the response of Jesus, and the rebuke of the disciples contribute to the discouragement she's already experiencing, in addition to the attacks upon her daughter and her by Satan with these seizures, with this demon possession, as she calls it. We must consider, why did Jesus lead this mother through a humbling and difficult process before granting her request? While his response does seem to be harsh, how often have we seen the lesson of persistent faith displayed through a time of testing, which is common in the scripture? Abraham was tested when he was asked to sacrifice his son. Joshua had to capture several fortified cities before he could enter the promised land. David fought Goliath and had to live in exile for several years before he became king of Israel. The gospel records several instances where Jesus tested the disciples. And Jesus continually said, we must continue to ask, to seek, and to knock if we desire to have our prayers answered. Peter teaches in 1 Peter 1:7, that God tests us to develop in us a faith of greater worth than gold. We must keep in perspective that having a healthy child would not necessarily eliminate all of this mother's problems, all of her other struggles. She is still a Syrophoenician woman living in a male-dominated society and a racially sensitive culture, and is an ostracized single mother. And Jesus uses this encounter with her to develop a deep, courageous faith which will stand her in good stead throughout life, and not just through a healing event. In his commentary on this passage, Matthew Henry said, this mother demonstrated spiritual quickness and sagacity. She recognized the fact that sometimes what seems to be against us can be to our benefit as well. Sagacity is one of those colorful words that we don't use in our speech today. It comes from the root word sage, which means wise or wisdom, like a sage teacher or a wise sage. She was wise enough to seek Jesus, the one who had the power and the authority to meet her needs. And all too often, we just turn to sources that are futile to try to meet our needs. Think of the billions of dollars that are spent each year on self-help books. We've talked about that before. You go into Books a Million and Barnes and Noble, and they're just shelf after shelf after shelf of how-to books. None of them in that section refer to Jesus, refer to God. It's all what we can do to help ourselves. If we'll just buy this $34.95 hardback book, you know, we can be 6 foot tall and good looking. We just buy the book and read it. You go and they have a Christian section, which is not quite as big as the self-help section. But too often we just are futile in our efforts to help ourselves. But she continued her wise pursuit by calling Jesus the Son of David, recognizing the promise of a Jewish Messiah, even though she was a Gentile. Then she referred to Jesus as Lord, acknowledging he was worthy of praise. And don't miss the fact that she praised Jesus in the midst of the pain, because the psalmist tells us that God is enthroned in the praise of his children. So this first characteristic that this woman exhibited, the wisdom, stood her in good stead. And a second characteristic that contributed to her deliverance is her humility. We should never confuse humility with weakness. This woman was a warrior fighting for her child. There was nothing weak about her, yet she humbly submits to the Lord of the universe. Pride would have been offended by the reference to the dog. Pride would have returned insult for insult, but pride would have walked away empty. God's word teaches us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A third and perhaps the main characteristic contributing to this mother's blessing was her tenacity. When the odds were stacked against her, she continued to push forward. When she was knocked down by circumstances and criticism, she got back up. When others told her to quit because she was wasting Jesus' time, she continued to ask him to help her. Remember, Elijah prayed 7 times before he even saw one little cloud in the sky. And this amazing woman asked 3 times for help, even though the disciples tried to get her to go away, even though Jesus ignored her, and even though he referred to her as a dog. Of course, by now I'm sure you've realized that the primary purpose of this story, this passage of Scripture, is to inspire us not to give up just because the hill is difficult to climb. We must keep asking. We must keep seeking. We must keep knocking. Because if not, Jesus will never answer us. Some of Andrew Jackson's childhood friends were discussing how surprisingly successful Andy had become in spite of his faults. They discussed other boys who were much smarter than Andy when they were growing up. In fact, his school record would have given you no indication that he would end up president of the United States. The friends talked about other boys that were stronger than Andy. And one reminisced about when he would wrestle with Johnny, that 3 out of 4 times, Johnny would throw Andy to the ground. Well, what happened the 4th time, one asked, and another friend answered saying, I guess Andy's secret was that he just wouldn't stay throwed. So friends, when the devil throws you down, just don't stay throwed. Keep up getting up and asking Jesus to help you, to bless you. He's waiting for you to do that. He wants you to do that, and he will bless you. Continue to pursue him. Continue to ask him. And if you claim that promise that seek and it will be given, he will answer your request. And if you are here today and you have not known Jesus, and you have not asked him, you've not had faith in him as your Lord and Savior, and you've not asked him to help you, to continue to bless you, then this is an opportunity to accept him as your Savior and to have the opportunity to be a child of His and to call upon Him when you need it. So we invite you to come and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior as we sing Invitation Hymn number 275. And again, we invite